3, and we're getting ready to start the 11th verse. So we're looking at the 11th verse of the third chapter of Ruth, and that's probably all we'll cover tonight, but I got such a blessing studying this. It's amazing what you can find when you're looking at this. And so verse 11 is Boaz's response to Ruth, who has, as we learned last week, made this claim upon him and said, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And so she's laid claim to him as her kinsman redeemer and asked him to spread his skirt over her, to lay claim to her and to marry her, to bring her under his full protection. And so Boaz in verse 10 responds to Ruth, and he says, and he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." So I ask myself, how many times do you see Boaz using the word thou in his response to her in this verse? How many times do you see that word thou? Three times. And so what I did is I divided each thought with that with thou, because it's a separate thought. He uses that word three times, and each thou is a description of what he saw in her. And his description is, I guess you could say, both personal and powerful. And the first thou is going to talk about her relationship. And the second thou is going to talk about her kindness. And the third thou is going to talk about her separation. And so I kind of broke that verse up into those divisions. So you see the first thing that he says concerning her, he said, "Blessed be thou," what? "Of the Lord." That's her relationship to God. "My daughter." That's her relationship to him. So you kind of have a dual relationship there. Can you just see that? That word, and I just started thinking, this is the first thing when you look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the blessings that flow forth, they begin with your relationship. And the word blessed, I think, is really interesting because it comes from a word, the foundation word for blessed, it means to kneel. Isn't that interesting? It's usually translated, it's usually translated to praise, and it does mean to praise. So you get the idea of if it starts out with kneeling, that's the position that you are in when you praise. It means to praise, or it comes from to kneel. And it also means to bless somebody or to be blessed in return. To me, it speaks about worship. And what you see in Ruth here and his description of her is her worship that caught his attention and brought to his lips this blessing was more than just a verbal worship. "Blessed art thou of the Lord." You have been kneeling before the Lord. You have been showing that subjection before the Lord. You have been praising the Lord, but it hasn't necessarily been with your lips. It's been with your life. And so there you see she is blessed not just because of what she said, but what she did. He's pronouncing this blessing on her, but he's going to look back in the next section and talk about what she did. But her blessing that she's going to receive is not just from what she said, but what she did. She blessed the Lord, I think, the moment that she decided to go with Naomi. She showed her praise and her subjection and love of the Lord the minute she said, "I'll go with you, Naomi." And she blessed the Lord the minute that she accepted Naomi's God and Naomi's people. She blessed the Lord. And she blessed the Lord as she labored in the fields of Boaz because she was laboring for Naomi. So, you know, that's her what she did. And that's praise, and that's worship, and It's seen in the choices that she made. She made all these wonderful choices that go back to kneeling, just surrendering to the Lord, her life. And so her choices have brought honor to God, and in a sense, the choices that we make do the very same thing. Our praise, our blessing of the Lord really is not just verbal, it is the testimony of our life. Now, that's the foundation. He says to her, "Oh, blessed be thou of the Lord." Now Boaz responds to Ruth's request to be her kinsman redeemer with a blessing. And he's basically saying, "And you're going to bless me also. You have blessed me. But I want to pronounce this blessing upon you." So we see the promise of the blessing that she will, I guess, enter into and enjoy when he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." He's promising her a blessing. And on the surface, when he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," he's talking about natural blessings. Marriage, and what comes with marriage? Children. You know, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." That blessing will begin with marriage, and it will continue with having children. And in a sense, that blessing is all about fruitfulness. You will be fruitful. You know, when you get to the end of Ruth in the fourth chapter, and the women talk to Naomi's about Ruth, they talk about, "Let her be fruitful." And so we see the fruitfulness of Ruth, which is, Boaz is looking ahead to the future, and he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. You've laid claim to me as your kinsman redeemer. Well, let the Lord bless you now. Let him make you fruitful." So it is natural blessings, but also I thought about when Boaz says to Ruth, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," it reminded me of what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. And if you would turn back over to Ephesians and look at chapter 1 and verse 3, and we probably have that scripture memorized. But when Boaz, who is a type of Jesus, says to Ruth, who is a type of the bride, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," when you get to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 3, we find the Apostle Paul saying this concerning those blessings. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, see, the blessing is directed to God first. Just like whatever Ruth said and did, whether she realized it or not, was a blessing that went to God first. Now God's going to reciprocate. He's going to return that blessing. So Paul says, "Oh, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." How is he blessed? Why is he blessed? By our kneeling before him in submission to him, our acceptance of Jesus as our Savior, as our Boaz, as our bridegroom. So praise be to God because of what we have done. And God is going to do something else in return. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The blessings come back. And they are not just natural blessings here. They are spiritual blessings. And I just thought, what you see here is this blessing of Boaz is a picture of the blessings that God gives us to Christ. And they are not meager blessings, stingy blessings. They are abundant blessings. They are all spiritual blessings. And you see it is her actions that bless God, her sacrifices that have blessed God, her losses that have blessed God, that have generated this response in Boaz, "Well, let God bless you now. You have given so much to him, he's going to give it all back to you." And that's just a wonderful picture of what we have set before us. So we see the reason for the blessings really rests on two things: her actions. She blessed God by her actions. And Boaz's promise, he promises a blessing unto her that she's going to have to lay hold of by faith, because it's not fully realized until the end of chapter 4, after she's married. My Bible encyclopedia said, Boaz gave no hint that Ruth had embarrassed him by her actions, or that she had done something that was not within her rights, or was against the customs of the day. Instead, he immediately blessed her. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you for willing to step forward in faith and lay hold of what God has for you. Lay hold of the very best. Lay claim to what is yours by right, if you would just lay claim to it. The Lord bless you for that. He will. And when we lay hold of Jesus as our bridegroom, lay claim to him in this way and say to him, spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. Jesus says, oh, the Lord bless you for that. The Lord reward you for that. And he will. And part of that reward comes right now. Not so much in the tangible things of this earth, which kind of get our eyes off the spiritual things, but in the spiritual blessings that he pours out in that enhanced relationship with our Lord. So we see here what she did. She blessed God, and what God would do, he would bless her by the mouth of Boaz. That's his promise. The other thing that struck me is, this is where you see her relationship, and blessed be thou, what? Of the Lord. There's that relationship. Boaz says, blessed be thou of the Lord. You know, she's no longer a stranger. She's no longer a Moabitess. She's no longer a heathen. She's a child of God. She's a part of the people of God. You belong to the Lord now. And maybe until he said these words, she didn't have that assurance. Maybe there was still that uncertainty. Well, you know, am I really part of God's people now? I've accepted them. I've accepted their God. Have they accepted me? Has God truly accepted me? And Boaz says, you are now, you now belong to the Lord. You are his. She's about to enter into, through this statement, blessed be thou of the Lord, she's about to enter into the promises. They belong to God's people. They're hers now because she is part of the family of God. And this is how faith changes us, and faith gives us a relationship with God that we need to see. If you don't have that assurance, oh, you can't go on in the victory and fruitfulness that is yours as a child of God until you are assured of that relationship. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I belong to him. And next we see another relationship in the way that he addresses her. He says, my daughter. I thought that's so sweet. He says this for a reason. Boaz is a mighty man of wealth, but he's an older man. Every commentator that I read said he sees her youth, and the word and the phrase daughter shows, first of all, that she's younger than him. You know, he is an older man. She may have been 15 or 16 or 17, pretty young. He may have been 30. He may have been 40. You know, we don't know. He was an older man. But he sees, first of all, that youthfulness of her and his age, not in a detrimental way, but now I have the experience and the age, I can take care of you. I can provide for you. I can meet your needs. And also he says, my daughter. So she belongs to him, my daughter. She's his responsibility. I will take care of you in that way. And also he sees her relationship to God and to his people and to him. She's now, I guess you could say, a daughter of God. She's of the household of faith. Paul says that in Galatians 6:10. He talks about the household of faith. We're a family now. And also my commentator said this phrase, my daughter, was a tender, respectful phrase that was used to younger women. It was just a tender, respectful phrase. Brother Wiersbe said he accepts us. You know, when he says this to Ruth, it's like he accepts us. Boaz might have refused Ruth. He could have said, basically, he could have said, you know, there's somebody else. He could have hit her right away with, well, wait a minute, let's not do this yet. There's somebody else you need to talk to first. He just immediately accepts her. Later on, he'll tell her, now there is somebody else. But instead of hitting her with that first, he says, yes, you belong to the Lord and you are mine now. And so he says, Boaz might have refused Ruth, but he accepted her. He called her my daughter and pronounced a blessing on her. Our Heavenly Father and our Redeemer is seeking for a closer relationship with us, and we should not be afraid to draw near and share his love. I like that. The scripture reference he gave was in John 14:21. I just finished typing that for the Bible school, and I can't remember. I gave Beverly a scripture from that chapter when I called her up, because I thought it was so interesting. I had just finished typing that chapter, and I'd been praying about Beverly, and I typed chapter 14, and I got to the scripture that is verse 27 in chapter 14 that says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let you be afraid." And so I called her up and said, "I have a scripture for you." And I thought the Lord had me typing that chapter at just the right time, because that's as soon as I got to that scripture, I thought, "Wow, that's what I need to give to Beverly." But also in John 14, it says in the 21st verse, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." And I thought, that's so good. You love me, I'm going to love you. And she loved God, and she loved God's people. And she had this affection, I think, for Boaz already. And Boaz says, "You love me, and I'll love you. I'll accept you." When we get to the fourth chapter of James, in the fourth chapter of James in the seventh verse, James says, "Draw nigh unto me, and what? I will draw nigh unto you." So, you know, we can get as close to the Lord as we want, and the closer we get to him, the closer he'll get to us. So she got as close as she could here, and he's promised to allow her to enter into that deeper relationship. So that's the first thing that he saw about her. Thou art, as we see here in this verse, of the Lord, and thou art my daughter. The second thing that he says, the second thou we see describing her, is he said, thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. I mean, here he talks about her kindness. And what really struck me is, do you remember what I said the word blessed comes from? To kneel. The word kindness comes from to bow the neck, in courtesy or submission. Isn't that interesting that these two things have to do with kneeling and bowing the neck? It has to do with submission. That word kindness, that's what it comes from. It speaks of courtesy and submission, and there's this visible action that you see on the part of the person that does it. Jacinius, who does Hebrew word studies, Brother David Franklin gave me a book on Jacinius. Every once in a while I'll look him up. Says it means to be eager, and it means an eager and ardent desire by which anyone is led. You're led to do something, show kindness, but there's this eager and ardent desire, warm desire, zealous desire, that leads you into this act. Kind of shows you that everything that she did for Naomi and everything that she did pertaining to the service in the field was eager and ardent on her part. And he saw that. That's how he described her kindness. It also means to show yourself gracious, so that the way in which she did things, the way in which she talked to people, approached to people, there was this graciousness about it. So that's how Jacinius translates kindness. And then Strong's translates it as a good deed, doing a good deed. Or also it can be translated as loving kindness, which is kind of the motive behind the good deed. It's kindness, but it has love attached to it. And somebody by the name of Brown translates it just to be kind. So he says, first of all, this is what she has shown, and then he tells her the degree that she has shown it. Thou hast showed more kindness. More meaning It comes from to be beautiful, to be sound. There's a kind of a strong foundation upon which that attitude flows forth and motivates her to do something. And it there's a soundness about it and a beauty about it. It means to be diligent. You have done it diligently. You have another rendering for you have showed more as you content. Wow, she was content in doing that. Can you imagine laboring from sunrise to sunset in the fields and then going home and helping out Naomi after a long day's laboring? She was content to do that. That's part of her kindness. It was not just the act of doing it, but the attitude with which she did it. It means to be comely, which means to be beautiful. It brought about her a beauty that wasn't physical, but was shown forth from within. That character from within is what he saw more so than just the physical attributes of Ruth. And it's really interesting, when you get to know somebody for a while, pretty soon you don't look at the physical attributes so much as you see them through their personality. They've been advertising this new movie that's going to come out about Abraham Lincoln. It's done by Steven Spielberg, and then Don gave me the Time magazine that had an article about Abraham, several articles on Abraham Lincoln. What struck me about him is he was a homely-looking man. When you stop and look at him, he didn't look like much. But I don't see him that way. I see him through the character of his actions and decisions that he made. And that's the way it is when we have contact with people. Pretty soon they don't see us so much as the first initial view of us. They see our personality shine through. And I think he saw in Ruth not just the physical attributes, but her personality, her character, the beauty of it, the comeliness of it. Her bowing the neck, her bending the knee, her graciousness. And so she was beautiful. It means that she pleased Boaz as well as she pleased God. And she was, the Apostle Paul says we should be, I think in Colossians 3:20, well-pleasing unto the Lord. If we are well-pleasing unto the Lord, then we are, in a sense, fulfilling what that kindness is all about. Pleasing him well by pleasing others. When we please God first, we will always please man in a godly way, not in a fleshly way. So Ruth did more. She loved more. She served more. She labored more. You have shown more. Kindness. So she loved more, she did more, she served more, she labored more, she went above and beyond what was expected. You have shown more, you know, than would ever have been expected of you. And so this kindness, when you look at it attached to our lives, can be shown towards God and towards man. They should really be balanced together. Your attitude towards God influences your attitude towards man, and he influences you. And we see in these things her submission and her diligence, and those are the things that I think made her beautiful. Now, it's interesting, when Naomi first prayed for Ruth in chapter 1, and she prayed for Ruth and Orpah, she used that word kindly, but it's a little bit different than this word kindness. In Ruth 1:8, you know, Naomi prayed, "Oh, the Lord deal kindly with you." And that word kindly means, let the Lord show his faithfulness. Let the Lord show his grace. Let the Lord show his mercy. Let the Lord show his steadfast love. And that word, kindness, there speaks of God's loving kindness to his people. And she prayed that for Ruth, and now it's about to be fulfilled. But Ruth actually has, in a sense, shown it outwardly first. In a very practical way in her life. Ruth's kindness is, I think, a picture of her growth. And it's not a one-time act, it is a lifetime pattern. And that's the testimony of the bride and an overcomer. It's not just occasional acts of graciousness or kindness or being led to do something. It is a lifetime pattern. It's just the way you live. So Boaz saw her growth and her kindness, and he said, you know, it's more now than it in the latter end than it was at the beginning. He knew what she had done in the beginning. Her kindness at the beginning was mainly directed towards Naomi, and her kindness in the latter end, I think, is directed towards Boaz. In a sense, he's saying, when you came to me and asked me to be your kinsman redeemer, that is a shows an ardent desire that has led you to a place that is even greater than when you first were led to take care of Naomi. Your submission to Naomi was one thing, but your submission to me is another thing. And so I think her kindness at the beginning speaks of what she did in relation to Naomi, and her kindness in the latter end speaks of what she has said she wants from Boaz. You know, it began with her husband and his family, and it began to include Naomi and her people and her God, and now it's just spread out and encompassed Boaz. And so that attitude just kind of grows. Her kindness, I think, was this, as I said, eager, ardent desire that never faltered, never wavered. She never was too tired at the end of the day of coming home from the fields to show that kindness to Naomi. And when she got up in the morning after laboring with Naomi, and it was probably early, sunrise to sunset, she never wavered or faltered in that attitude. Or that submission and bowing the neck. Sister Mary Bodie says, thy latter kindness, he says, has been greater than thy former. Then thy confidence in Jehovah brought thee to thy country. That's your former kindness. You were willing to come to this country, and you were willing to leave your kindred. But now thou hast shown still greater faith in Jehovah by laying hold of me. Thou hast taken the only place that a Moabitess can take, that of need and helplessness, and thou hast found grace in my sight. So I just think that's so precious. He saw something in her. The third thing and the final thing here that he says that thou is attached to, that shows something that he sees concerning her character, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. To me, that speaks of her separation. That word follow comes from two words. It means to walk, and it means to pursue after. You kind of see here the energy, the direction that you go, the walk, and the energy with which you have that walk in your life. You pursue after something that you see. In the negative sense, it's translated to depart from, or to go away from, or to go your own way. And he's basically saying, you know, you have not departed from that decision that you first made the morning that you said that you would follow your mother-in-law and accept her and her God. And you have not gone away from that. You have not chosen, once you're here, to go your own way. And that's the temptation sometimes when we first set out on that overcoming walk with the Lord, and we want to win Jesus as our bridegroom. There is sometimes a departure. We go away, other things, we see other things, and we start to follow after those other things. We start to walk in that direction. And as we walk in that direction, then we start to pursue after those things. Oh, I want those things. And then you begin to go your own way. But she did not do that. And I thought about, he tells you what could have drawn her away. Young men, whether poor or rich. And you kind of see here what could have drawn Ruth away from God's will for her life. There were young men. Boaz is very probably an older man. Well, he's a mighty man of wealth, and he's a man of valor, and he owns all this property, so he's not like 20 or, you know, 18 or whatever. He's a full-grown man. So what struck me is there were those that could have drawn her away, and they were young, and there were many of them. There was a variety of them, whether rich or poor. I mean, she had a lot to choose from there. And they could have been men that she might have been attracted to. And they were men that, you know, she probably could have chosen, and they could have provided for her, and she could have had some measure of security, but not the full measure. But she could have had a little bit of security. Ruth looked beyond the surface to what God wanted for her, and so she didn't let any of those young men, whether poor or rich, take her eyes off of that goal, which was just simply to serve Boaz. And in serving him, she's going to be elevated. Here you see her faithful, chaste, pure testimony. You didn't follow after. That's the chaste testimony that the Apostle Paul talks about when he says he's espoused us to Christ as what kind of a virgin? A chaste virgin. What struck me is the other thing that you see here is this might have been a hard thing to do for Ruth, because when was the book of Ruth written? I mean, when did time of Judges? And it says in Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:5, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a prevalent attitude in that day. Doesn't other people's attitudes influence us? Mm-hmm. Also, she may have been propositioned by or pestered by these men, and she would have had to stand firm and stand strong and remain separated and chaste. So she didn't choose any of them. And Boaz basically says, you know,